RTE Rugby Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the RTE Rugby Podcast. I'm Michael Corcoran. I'm in New Zealand for the British and Irish Lions Tour. We're in Rotorua for the game against the New Zealand Maori on Saturday. The team was named by head coach Warren Gatland. Peter O'Mahony captains the team and he follows Sam Warburton, Ken Owens and Alan Wynne-Jones in captaining the 2017 Lions in what is called the fourth test on Saturday. Johnny Sexton, Conor Murray, Tyke Furlong and Sean O'Brien are also included in the starting team, with Jack McGrath and Ian Henderson on the bench. The team to play the Maori has Lee Halfpenny at fullback, Anthony Watson and George North on the wings, with Ben Teo and Jonathan Davis in the centre. Conor Murray and Johnny Sexton are at halfback, a front row of Mako Vunipola, Jamie George and Tyke Furlong. Maro Itoje and George Cruz are in the second row, with Peter O'Mahony, Sean O'Brien and Tulupe Faletau in the back row. A replacements bench of Ken Owens, Jack McGrath, Kyle Sinclair, Ian Henderson, Sam Warburton, Greg Laidlaw, Dan Bigger, who is a late replacement for Owen Farrell, and Elliot Daly. Well, I was at the team announcement and got the reaction of the new Lions captain Peter O'Mahony and the head coach Warren Gatland.
It's always been one of the, I suppose, unique sporting spectacles in world rugby, the special aura or the mana that they talk about here in New Zealand that the Maoris bring, and just culturally how important it is to a country. I mean, they would have been doing a lot of things, especially engaging with the community in the last 10 days since they've been together, and the players are incredibly proud to put that jersey on and to represent not just the people of New Zealand but also their own tribes and where they're from. So look, it's going to be a great occasion. I can remember watching 2005, the game in Hamilton, and the atmosphere was something else, and a really tight game. And looking at that Maori squad, I mean, a lot of them did tour, particularly in the forwards last year, to America and played Munster and Harlequins as well. But the backs look a little bit stronger than they did 12 months ago, or 6 or 7 months ago. So look, we're excited about the quality of team that we're up against.
Warren, you mentioned last week when you picked Peter on the team, you said you wanted him to bring a bit of the Munster mongrel. There was a bit of, not say confusion, but can you explain what you meant now that he's sitting next to you?
I think sometimes that you look and it's not something you can sort of quantify about what Munster bring to a game. I've been there so many times and watched them play, and just that it's a special sort of pride, or sometimes the performances they can produce is, that they've done just consistently over the years, and being able to dig deep and bring things and performances out of from places where a lot of players individually or teams collectively can't do. So that's kind of that Munster sort of never giving up and playing for each other. That's what you're looking for, and that's what I think Peter will bring to the team for Saturday.
And given the fact of where we were and who the opposition are, is time running out for people to press a claim for a place in the starting team for that first test?
I think we're all aware that you get one or two chances and a couple of opportunities, and some people are lucky and for whatever reason you may be involved in a game, or you're involved in a combination that goes really well, and you've got to sometimes, us as coaches, reward that, and that's why we've gone with a lot of the same combinations from last Saturday, and to see, is that going to be a number of combinations for the first test. So I've just got to continue on that and gel and work together. For the players that aren't involved at the moment, the message to them is that, look, you might not be involved in the next week or so in terms of the Maoris or the first test, but we've seen in the past how significantly the team can change from test one to test two to test three, and to keep working hard and performing the games that they do get an opportunity to perform in, because you never know when your chance is going to come.
It is a tight turnaround, but I mean, as a group of players, you've got to prepare yourself for that before you arrive, and you know they're coming thick and fast, so I think guys are well prepared. I think the recovery structure that we've got is excellent, so We don't have any excuses. We're enjoying training and getting stuck in.
Peter, congratulations on your appointment. When did Warren ask you about it? How did he say it to you? What was your reaction?
He just came in, had a breakfast and fired at me, and obviously I said I was delighted to. So that was about the end of it. Wasn't it?
Was it a long chat, or did you?
No, that was it.
And in terms of I don't want to say the mood within the squad, but is there a sense that as a group of players that you need to find a level of consistency, perhaps, that has only been there in sports up to this?
It is. Look, I suppose it's the manner of the whole thing is that we're getting to know each other. I mean, you know, the little front rowers and the little groups that we have are only getting small reps, small amounts together, but you've got to make them count, and I think they're starting to come now. Last Saturday we had a couple of great things come out of Tuesday as well, so we've just got to build on them and as I said, draw the positives out and learn quickly from the stuff that we need to work on.
There's massive, intense competition for places in the starting team, so in every respect, when you get a chance to wear the jersey, you've got to do it justice.
You've got to do it justice, not just for yourself, but I mean for everything that the Lions stands for, everything. The guys that don't get the chance at the weekend, you know, you're playing for the 41, and then whatever's behind it, all the stuff that goes with it. It's not just doing well for yourself. There's a huge amount of collective involved. There's a huge amount of honour that goes into the jersey, and the amount that matters to you you've got to show it on every time you get the opportunity.
The team announcement has been made, but there's no sign of Warren Gatland. There's no sign of the team captain, in this case Sam Warburton, or indeed John Spencer, who's the tour manager. But the man who is making the team announcement is actually from Abbey Leaks in County Leash. Shane Whelan is head of digital with the Lions, and the responsibility falls on your shoulders.
Big responsibility, Michael. Of course, I suppose in the space of 4 years, the technology changes in the digital space has been absolutely massive. So, for example, 2013 would have been the traditional press release and you would have got your team into the inbox, Michael. Now, by the time people are getting up at home, last couple of games, 7 a.m., the announcement has been made on our digital platforms. How does that look? So firstly, we have a video with John Spencer, tour manager, calling out the players. And then at the end of the piece, you'll have a reaction from either the head coach, Warren Gatland, or indeed one of the backroom or one of the other coaches. So it's very, very exciting. It puts a bit of pressure on us because ultimately that video has got to go live 6 p.m. New Zealand time, 7 a.m. At home. And we produce a series of assets to make that announcement. So we have a video, we have a graphic with the team, we have the article ready to go live. So it gives our channels that air of exclusivity. It allows us to be, you know, allows us to hero a major announcement. Mm. We've got 10 of them. The interest on them has been incredible. I just even thinking back 4 years ago, it just seems like 100 years ago now. And this is one of those areas where you can see a real example of this. So the interest in it has been incredible. So we're getting around an average of over 250,000 video views for the team announcement. That's not taking into account the amount of times the graphic has been shared, the article has been read, and it has worked very, very well. And it's quite a quick turnaround. So the game happens the following day, you got to have the team announcement ready. So you're certainly not resting on your laurels after a match finishes.
And one of the things that we're all learning on this tour is that you have to plan ahead. I do, and I complain about it given my job, but from your point of view, you know, from what you're saying, you have to get it spot on and absolutely 100% correct.
Absolutely. We've been preparing for this tour for the last couple of years. And in terms of a schedule on a daily basis, we have, God, there's some days where you could have up to 100 pieces of content almost going out on channels across everything from tweets to articles to imagery. You really want to tell the story of the most famous touring team in the world. And doing that is a big challenge. We have a behind-the-scenes video team who follows the team everywhere. We have social team. We have our team back in Dublin who are making sure that audience is catered for right throughout the day. So it's incredibly exciting. The type of content we can get, being with the players, is a wonderful opportunity for people like me who are working in this space. And it's just every day is different. Like we arrived, the very first day we arrived, the greeting we got at the airport in one day generated in excess of 1 million video views. That was the interest in the team arriving. So, and as you found, Michael, every day there's something new. There's either a team announcement, there's a match, there's a visit to a local community project, there is meeting the players, having fun with the players, and then just the serious business about the rugby and covering that correctly. So on a match day itself, it's so exciting because before the match, you're building everyone up. And because the time difference is so vast, it means that we can really push out all of that content after the match is finished, and it gives us two hits at it. But largely, our audience and our digital channels are at home. But there's also a sizable Lions contingent out here who look at our channels to find out what's happening on a day-to-day basis. So it's certainly not a case of filing all the information by 10 and going to bed. Sleep is at a premium, but it's wonderful. And just the difference the last couple of years has been incredible.
And just even on that, I mean, from my point of view, we're bringing the message across via the medium of the radio. You know, the games are obviously on television as well, so people see and hear that side of it. But from your point of view, you're given a view to the outside world from the other side of the fence, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose one of the ultimate aims of this is actually giving people that don't have this access a sense of what goes on. Yeah. That could be anything from what goes on in the training field, what goes on in the stadium. So that's really kind of one of the main goals. In addition to that, to complement the type of coverage, Michael, that you gave or what's on television, the stats. So on match day, it's all about the rugby. It's all about getting live match stats, live information. And coming up to the tour, in fact, for the last 2 years, we have been driving the story of the Lions. So actually, to now be in camp, to have this information at our fingertips every single day, is incredible. And I can tell you, no day is ever dull. And like tomorrow, or it's another day. It's preparing for the next team announcement. Mm. So it's the time is already flying by. And actually, after working on it for 2 years, flying a bit too quickly.
What sort of a team is involved in this? Because quite obviously, you're obviously multi-talented, but you're not doing all of this on your own.
That's definitely the case. And even again, it's another difference than 2013, going around trying to manage all of the different areas. But now we've quite a big team. Obviously have our behind the scenes film guys, we've guys covering social over here, and at home we've a very dedicated team at home who cover this, because ultimately we have to go to bed at some stage, and when we do, the guys take over and we do a handover. But such is the demand for content, you're talking about audience, a combined audience across our digital audience in excess of 1 million people. So that sort of demand is very, very high for content. And I'll tell you, if you take a break from it for 20 minutes, they'll be very quick to tell you where is it, But so far, it really has been great. The players are fantastic, some great insights, great having players from four different unions. So it's so unique to have fans from four different nations all on the one channel supporting the same team. And ultimately, the type of content that goes well. So, for example, you heard our famous choir, the players singing the four songs. When you put that out, it was wonderful to see the reaction. So, for example, some of the Welsh fans commenting about seeing some of the Irish lads and the English lads singing their song. It shows a real all for one. And actually, that's another real way that we can use our digital channels, to get that message across. And we're still hoping that they might sing some of those songs at the match. It's certainly a challenge that's been put to us to hear some of the fans singing it. But that just, again, is just another example of the type of behind-the-scenes content that we want to be able to bring to the supporters.
And there's no doubt whatsoever that given the popularity and the demand for what you're doing, you're in a situation where as this tour progresses, and we're finding this ourselves on the radio, that the interest ramps up. I mean, you have a Maori All Black game this week, followed by three tests against the team who are the number one in the world.
Yeah, you almost look at it like it's a number of different stages. We're now going through, obviously, the games. We are great winning at the weekend, and there's the momentum from that. And then there's the tests, which is almost another big stage to all of this. And even get goosebumps talking about it in terms of what we can potentially do around those games, the sheer interest worldwide. Another interesting stat, for example, game number one, it was number Lions NZ2017 hashtag was the number one hashtag trending worldwide at that particular time. So you can only imagine what that's going to be like in a couple of weeks' time. So it still feels like very much the start of the whole journey, even though we've a couple of games down. But it'll be, you know, there'll be some really interesting content going out over the next couple of weeks, and I think more great behind the scenes content.
And people have embraced it. I mean, I know old fellas like me might be a little bit suspicious of young fellas like you doing your job.
Well, you'd be surprised at the amount of old fellas that are actually on the channels, you know, and telling us what they think of the content. The age demographic, funnily enough, it's so vast, you know, in terms of. As you say, the old fellas, they'll be on the site looking at the historical information. But when you go into seeing some of the profiles, and I see yours once in a while, Michael. So, no, we have a massive demographic, and we cater for all different type of fans. So everything from Snapchat, for example, which is the younger demographic, obviously to the website, which is quite traditional. And then Facebook, which has proven very, very popular in terms of that really kind of quick, short video that proves very, very popular. And kind of duration is important as well, because you want people to get a sense of it, but actually in a short, snackable way too. So, so it's been incredible.
A big challenge, as I said, but I mean, the biggest challenge is to come, given, you know, the interest in, I mean, you go onto the New Zealand Rugby website, you see, you know, look at their Twitter account, how many followers they have. It's almost like a clash between two giants socially.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's a big battle happening on the digital front. But no, all joking aside, it's very much in our benefit to be working together. And we'd have a very much shared approach in terms of, and it's interesting you say that, because their audience as well is a massive audience. Mm. I think when you're born in New Zealand, I think you have to join the digital channels. It's quite incredible. So we would share their content and vice versa ourselves. But, you know, as I say, across our channels, at Lions Official, for example, on Twitter, LionsRugby.com, there's a lot of crossover between what New Zealand are doing and what we're doing. And we have a very good working relationship, but I'm sure it'll be very competitive around the time of the games itself.
And how do you ensure that everything is done correctly and on time, if you understand, rather than, you know, something is sent out 5 minutes beforehand, or somebody, you know, something happens somewhere with technology and all of a sudden the team appears an hour before it should?
Well, I have to say that's probably what keeps me up more than anything else. We have successfully to date, and I say to date, we have managed to get it right in terms of timing. But you're right, things can happen, you know. And also, with the sheer amount of content goes out, we have planned to the best that we can. But, you know, you look at something like Wi-Fi, for example, can let you down at the most crucial time. So, unfortunately, the audience won't be so forgiving when you're explaining that you're having a drop in Wi-Fi or anything like that. So you have to really plan these days out. And you're planning it both from an NZ point, time zone, not at home as well. So our content is well planned, the tone of our content, you know, so there's a lot of planning there. But I'm kind of anxious now that you've said that, Michael, that there might be something around the corner yet, but it's how we recover from it is important.
I know that you've got your job and it's a unique job, but I mean, you're part of a team which is part of the away from the pitch side of things. I mean, everybody can see what happens and hear what happens on the pitch with coaches and everything, but the support staff, for want of a better phrase, the team behind the team is absolutely huge.
Oh, it's crucial. And you look at our own team, which is our communications team, you know, of course, head of communications, Dave Barton, leading the comms team. And, you know, we have, as you see yourself, Michael, from both the traditional comms and from the digital comms, you know, there's a huge amount of content to get out. And also there's a multiple events happening at the same time. So there might be training over here, there might be an event over here. You know, probably in the past you might have been able to cover an element of both. Now you need people covering all of these different events. That's just the sheer interest in this. You know, it's global interest. It has to be covered properly. People are expecting high quality level of content. And also, from the comms point of view, we're all working off the same comms strategy. We're all working as all for one, and the team behind the team is crucial. But yeah, it's very exciting, very, very exciting.
And before we finish up, you're enjoying the experience. I mean, apart from the job aspect of it, are you a good tourist? How are you fitting in terms of all the travel?
Oh, it's an amazing experience, you know, just in terms of, you see a different place every 2 days. You know, I've never been in New Zealand before myself. A sports fanatic, getting to see so many different stadiums that you've probably listened to you, Michael, commentating on in the past, and it's brilliant. It's for someone that's into sport as much as I am. It's a brilliant thing to work on, and just to be exposed to the players, but also the experience of working with members of the team behind the team, as you say, getting exposed to that, working with people from other unions. So actually, you know, learning from that, and actually, as I said to you before, every day is so different. And challenging, you know, it's a really challenging area, and you have to, every piece of content you put out is scrutinized, that you have to be so careful. But overall, this is a phenomenal experience to work on it.
That was Shane Whelan there. Well, we now get a perspective on the upcoming test from two men who know well what it takes to compete in a Lions series. Shortly, the former Munster and Ireland out-half Ronan O'Gara, who toured in 2001, 2005 and 2009. But first, the All Black Dan Carter, who's been giving Damien O'Mara a sense of anticipation that exists amongst the New Zealand rugby fans.
If you look at the games to date, you know, you look at the Blues, the Highlanders, and just the emotion that they get from beating the Lions is huge. I think you often underestimate how big a series is over here to the people of New Zealand, and especially the players. To play in a Lions series is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it means so much to us, and that's why these players are rising to these challenges.
And it's to the benefit of the series and the spectacle that we see the All Black players playing for their clubs, but it increases the challenge for the Lions significantly, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's a bit different, this series, to the Lions series of past, when they're normally playing provincial teams, and it's extremely demanding, the schedule. I think it's absolutely crazy, but obviously we've seen some great rugby. We've seen some of the best players playing against the Lions series, with, you know, the Super Rugby talent, and I guess a great chance to showcase the depth that we have in New Zealand rugby.
When it comes to trying to build combinations, trying to gel a team in such a confined period of time, particularly when so many players were tied up with the Premiership Final and the Guinness Pro 12 Final, it's a massive, massive challenge for Warren Gatland, isn't it?
Oh, it's a huge ask after what's already been a long season for a lot of the players. I think they've been there 2.5 weeks, already 4 games into it. It's grueling. But I'm sure the coaches and the management staff will have certain systems, you know, in place to try and counter that. And I think they'll honestly be looking forward to just getting through this game against the Maoris, and then actually getting settling into some sort of week on week test match rugby.
We get very parochial, and obviously people here want to see the Irish players start and want to see Johnny Sexton at 10, but if we're very honest, is Owen Farrell the in the box seat when it comes to the starting out half position?
Oh, I just think the way that he controlled the game in that first 20 minutes against the Crusaders, just showing that he gets the best out of the players around him. But in saying that, the way that the Sexton came on, and nothing really changes, it was credit to the quality player that Johnny is. So to have that dilemma is a great position to be in. Even if they do decide to go on Farrell to start, Johnny will be playing game time at some stage in the test match, and that's what you're going to need in that last 20, 30 minutes as a player of his calibre to come in and close the game out.
Does your head, though, say New Zealand 3, Lions 0?
I'll be absolutely ridiculed if I didn't say anything different to all the All Black supporters, so I'll have to stick with the 3-0 score to the All Blacks.
Where does 2005 rank for you and all that you've achieved in this game?
Yeah, it's right up there. Like I said earlier, it's something so unique about a Lions series once every 12 years. For me, it was almost the start of my test career, and I guess putting my name into sort of being known on the world stage. So it's a great opportunity, and some amazing memories from 2005.
I know obviously you're still active, and players generally don't reflect on their careers until you've hung the boots up, and when you do, it's maybe the defeats that stand out more than the wins. But the second test, people talk about that being almost the definitive out-half performance, Dan Carter that day being the player to watch and model yourself on. Is that a game that's particularly significant for you when you reflect on all that you've played?
Yeah, it is. You're always striving to have the perfect performance, and to be honest, I don't think you'll ever get the perfect performance, but that game was close. You know, everything seemed to go really well, scoring tries, kicking goals, setting tries up. I didn't realise how much of an impact that game would have on my career, and how important that game was until the game had finished, and people were telling me what an amazing game it was. And looking back now, it's you know, it's definitely a game that I'll always remember, and you know, pretty special game for me.
People over here might not appreciate the honour it is to be an All Black. It's something that can never be taken away from you, and in many ways you're almost the personification of the nation internationally. It comes with a pressure.
Huge pressure, huge expectation, and just the history that goes in behind the All Blacks. It's an incredible history, and it's every sort of boy's dream to grow up and play for the All Blacks. So when that becomes a reality, you do have this certain pressure and expectation to perform, and it's basically becomes your duty to add to that legacy that's gone before you. And it can go one of two ways, but for the majority of the guys, it really gives them motivation and brings out the best in them, and that's part of the reason why the All Blacks and the All Black players are, you know, so strong.
Are you aware then of the aura of the All Blacks? How big is the jersey you wear in terms of mindset in advance of games? You have an awful lot of teams beaten before you've even met in the tunnel.
No, it's not something you really sort of think about, or, you know, we're just kind of concentrating on us. Obviously, having such a successful history, I guess you can create a bit of an aura. But, you know, if anything, it can work in the opposite as well. You know, it can make a team's season just by beating the All Blacks. So there's never any easy games for the All Blacks. Always the opposition is doing everything they can to, you know, to beat us. So there's no such thing as an easy game.
You've been in Dublin for a couple of hours. On how many occasions already has Joe Schmidt and the potential All Blacks job come up in discussion?
Yeah, a couple of times already. And you know, rightly so, with the success that he's had, and even talking to some of the players, you know, that have worked under him, and the people that have met him and seen the way he coaches. I personally don't know myself, so it's hard for me to comment, but he's doing you know, all the right things. Obviously still a few more years for you know, Steve Hansen to continue coaching. He's got a great coaching team as well, with Mike Cron and Ian Foster as well, that you know, I'm sure they'll be pretty keen to be head coaches as well at some stage soon.
To what extent does what Joe Schmidt or Warren Gatland achieve in the Northern Hemisphere, in the Six Nations, resonate with people back home? Or do you have to go back to Super Rugby and do it all over again?
No, I think once you're on the, you know, the international stage, you know, you become a lot more aware of what they're able to achieve at the end of the day. You know, when you're winning Grand Slams, you're winning Six Nations, you're beating the All Blacks, you're making you know, a stand for yourself. That's when you start getting recognised a lot more, you know, back home, because we can be so fixated on just the Southern Hemisphere. But since living here, you realise how big and how important these Six Nations are, and these Autumn Test matches are to the home countries. So, but it's also that development of players. You know, you don't want that inconsistency, and you know, for the way the Irish team were able to bounce back after that that World Cup in 2015, gives credit to Joe and his coaching team.
On that then, has too much been made from an Irish perspective of the victory over New Zealand in November?
It was probably a bigger thing over here than more of a significant blow. I think it was a fantastic game, and Ireland fully deserved to win that game. They put us under pressure in that game, and we're just too good. And you just saw how much it meant to them. So, you know, I think that was great for world rugby, because the All Blacks have been so dominant up until then. So it was a fantastic, you know, win to Ireland.
It's winnable if you get unbelievably excited by the opportunity, and I think that opportunity is, let's be realistic, that will be the biggest achievement in rugby in an awful long time, because it's not the same as going to Australia, it's not the same as going to South Africa. I think that's achievable. This is really, really difficult, but I think certain players will grow with that pressure, other players will crumble. And I think, depending on messages driven into the players from after the Maori game to the ball is kicked off, I think so much will be decided in their heads before the test game happens. Because if New Zealand get on top of you, the players can be unrelenting. And I think there should be massive excitement about the opportunity to create history, and there would be certain players there, I think, capable of driving it. But as you say, it's the hardest thing in rugby to do.
There seems to be a growing fixation that you can put Johnny Sexton and Owen Farrell into the one team. Is it square pegs into round holes if you try and play them 10-12?
No, I think you can definitely play them I would like to think you'd play them after 50 minutes, though. I don't think it's a good idea, personally, starting the two of them with what's going to be in front of you. Maybe against 9 out of the 10 other nations in the world, you could, but I just think with Sonny Bill and the Savea and the physical presence, for me, they're two tens. They're two really good ball players. There's very little between the two of them, I suppose. Farrell probably shades it in the fact that he's had such an exceptional year with England and with Saracens. But you know, I mean, there wouldn't be much between them. I think the issue probably, it's very hard to name a standout midfielder for the Lions. Who's going to play 10, 12, 13? If you ask anyone, I think you get three different answers.
Do you have to make a dent? Do you have to win a series in order to reflect upon it positively? How do you reflect on the three tours you were on?
All so different, yeah. I think, you know what I mean, for me in 2001, it was, I was, you know what I mean, there basically learning my trade behind, Johnny was probably at his peak then, and 2005 he was playing as well. 2009 was disappointing. I felt there was a series there to be won, but Warren picked Stephen Jones, and I would have been disappointed with that because you didn't get the opportunity to maybe run the ship you'd like it to be run. But it's perfectly understandable with a kind of a Wales 10 and a Wales coach. He had more trust in him, and you just got to back that decision and get on with it. And I think, as you said, I'm not too sure it's at the pinnacle. I don't think the 2013 Lions series in Australia would be the pinnacle of any of those players. To be fair, if you beat a team with Bowden Barrett at 10 and if you beat a team with James O'Connor, I think it's very different. And that's not being disrespectful to James O'Connor, but he's a winger who's played most of his career in the back three, yet if the Lions found him at out half in a test series, which is very strange. But there wouldn't be a bigger achievement, and it would be the pinnacle of all these rugby players' career if they managed to win a test series against New Zealand. It would be incredible.
That was Ronan O'Gara and initially Dan Carter chatting there to Damien O'Mara. Well, that's it from this week's podcast. That's the RTE Rugby Podcast. And don't forget, by the way, you can catch Saturday's game against the Maori live on digital radio on Longwave 252 and also online. From myself, Michael Corcoran, on Tour with the Lions. Thanks for listening. Talk to you again soon.
The RTE Rugby Podcast.